It is glory just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul each day. It is joy divine to feel him near where'er my path may be. Bless the Lord, it's glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the high. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory when the shadows fall to know that he is near. Oh, what joy to simply trust and pray. It is glory to abide in him when skies above are clear. Yes, with him it's glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. 'Twill be glory when I walk with him on heaven's golden shore, never from his side again to stray. 'Twill be glory, wondrous glory, with the Savior evermore, everlasting glory all the way. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with him. Sing it again. Here we go. It is glory just to walk with him. It is glory just to walk with him. He will guide my steps aright through the vale and o'er the high. It is glory just to walk with him. Amen. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me. A weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, or if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Glory. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we from the beginning. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Yes, Lord, open our eyes. Wonderful loving kindness. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness. better than I. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful loving kindness of Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. His blood, He has saved me. With His power, He has saved me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to with His blood, He has saved me. With His power, He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Glory to you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And our expectation is that He's going to continue to do those great and marvelous things. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when we're in trial, it's kind of hard for us to see how He's going to do anything about it. And sometimes we may feel like almost like He's awfully slow. He's not slow. He's working everything, the Bible says, after the counsel of His own will. So He knows more about things than we do. A lot of times we kind of say, oh, it's got to be done like this, Lord. And I demand, you know, people demand the Lord now. I demand the Lord do this. We don't demand the Lord to do things. We pray for Him to do it. And then we have to be yielded to His will. Let Him do it in His own time. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I think I preach about God's will a lot, but didn't really know what to name this thing, because every time I'd think of something, then I'd mark it out. So I just wrote it first. I thought, God is in charge. I think I told you about my brother Tom in the service, you know, for 27 years or something like that. And he was in charge a lot. He was the man that was in charge. And there was this black fellow that was under him, and he told this guy, he said, you have to see whatever Tommy's rank was, sergeant or staff sergeant or what he was, Thomas Hawk, he's the man in charge. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the man in charge. And sometimes we don't like what he says that's going to be done. But he knows what we need. That's an amazing thing, that he knows what we need. So we're going to talk about God's will. And as I was looking in the Word of God, I saw over and over and over from the time of Genesis, clear through the Old Testament, he repeatedly says, I will, I will, I will. His will, that's what we're talking about. What he decides to do, he does. These are some of the things. I will bless. I will give. I will judge. I will make. I will be against every man. I will multiply. I will establish. I will command. I will spare. I will not destroy. I will speak. I will not. I will make. I will provide. And I will, many, many other times that I didn't go ahead and write down, got tired, so I didn't repeat it. But in the Old Testament, there are so many times where God expresses his will, what he's going to do. He's the same God today as he was then. He has a plan, a great plan that's being worked out in this world. When we look around us and we see all this stuff happening, because we're human flesh, we wonder, well, what is going to happen next? Well, no, will I be able to survive? Will I be one of those that will be taken to be with the Lord? Will I have to go into tribulation? Will I have a job? Will I, you know, we think of all these things. But God is working his will. Apostle Paul often speaks of the will of God. He talks of him as directing his path, and telling him where he was supposed to minister. In Romans 1:10, it says, that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God. Paul didn't go anywhere unless he knew it was the will of God. God had it planned. That's what that means. God had it planned. And that's the same way that we are. We need to realize that we are under God's authority. And whatever his will is, he's working out in us. And sometimes we have to go through some hard things we don't like. So I'm here to tell you, I've been through many hard things I didn't like. And many of you have too. But God is having his will to be done. In the book of Jonah, if you want to turn there, we're not going to read much there, but back in the Old Testament, Jonah, kind of the latter part of the Old Testament. He was, I think all of us know about Jonah. If I can even find it now. I think it's Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Yeah, the book of Jonah. Do you have a Scofield Bible? Page 943. Okay. Anyway, Jonah was one of those people that didn't follow the will of God. God told him to go to Nineveh, which was in Iraq. Okay, so we all know where Iraq is today. And that's where he was supposed to go up there. And he says, cry against it. And their wickedness is come before me. That's why God told him to go. That's in verse 2 of chapter 1. But in verse 3, Jonah didn't want to do the will of God because he was thinking, those dirty, rotten people up there, why should I go up there and waste my time? I know they're not going to believe. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I know this is what he was thinking. He was thinking, they're not going to believe I'm going to go up there, and they're probably going to persecute me. I'm not going to go there. So it says in verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship that was going to Tarshish. Did you know that Tarshish is in Spain? Now think about the Mediterranean. Over here on this side where Israel is, the city of Joppa, he's going to take a boat. He's going to go clear to Spain. I'm not going to do what God tells me to do or the will of God. He's telling me to go to this country right up here. I know they won't believe, so I'm going to go clear to Tarshish. Isn't that something? And we think, you know, well, my goodness, he sure was a failure, wasn't he? Boy, God corrected him, didn't he? And he finally went where God told him to go. And you know, most of us know that little story, that story back there, how that they repented. This whole town repented of their sins. But did you know it only lasted for 100 years? After 100 years, they were right back to doing all the idolatry and everything again. But God worked in those individuals that he found there. It was his will for Jonah to go there. And so I think one of the most difficult things in my life has been to know the will of God and be willing to do it. Because just to tell you the truth, my husband loved to move. And when I was a child, all we did was move. We lived in places for short order. Daddy fixed up the house. We'd sell it for a profit, we'd move. And we moved all over the place. So when I got married, I thought, my husband is from one little town in Berlin, New Mexico, and we're going to live here for the rest of our lives. And it wasn't that way. We moved 21 times before we came here to Carbondale. And now we've been here since 81. Isn't that something? Thank God! He heard my cry. Whoa. Now, God had his way. He taught me lots of things. Sometimes when I just feel like, oh, I can't do it. You know, even moved when I was 8 months pregnant from Berlin, New Mexico to Kansas City, Missouri, so we could go through another year of Bible school. Boy, I didn't want to do that one. But God worked it out. That was his will. And so he teaches us through the circumstances to be willing to do the will of God. Let's go to Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Romans 8. And I know I forgot to pray over the sermon, but I believe the Lord, he's going to bless this, so we'll just go onward. In Romans 8, verse 7 of Romans 8, let's see, I don't think I want to read that. Let's start with verse 18. Everybody there? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And how many times have we had to fall back on that? When we are doing the will of God, when we are walking in the will of God and doing his, then the sufferings come. And it's hard to say, oh God, you know, it's all right. I'm trusting in you. You're going to bring me out of this, and I'm in your will. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, or all creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. This word manifestation means that which will be revealed, the revelation of what God is doing. And boy, sometimes we don't know what he is doing, do we? Praise the Lord. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. So God has this great plan. It was all planned. God wasn't surprised at Adam and Eve, you know. You all realize that. He knows the end from the beginning. This great plan was being worked out, and it isn't always fun for us, or we don't like to be subject to it, but the Lord has allowed this. And then in verse 21, because the creature or the creation itself also shall be delivered. Now, that's not going to take place until Christ comes back and renovates everything, and the creature will actually totally be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Praise the Lord. Delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty. That word liberty means freedom. And we have that freedom right now. The world doesn't have this liberty, but we have that freedom right now in Christ. We are free in Christ. Notice in verse 23, and not only they, he spoke about the creation groaning in verse 22, and he says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The adoption there, that word means son placing. So right now, we're waiting in this life, we are waiting for the time that our body is going to be totally redeemed. Now, it all happened at the cross. We are redeemed. I'm a redeemed person. So are you. All of you know Jesus. You are the redeemed of God. But you have not yet experienced that final thing that's going to happen, that's going to be our total redemption. And that is our body is going to be changed. We are waiting for this son placing, is the word adoption, to show what is going to happen, the redemption of our body. Praise the Lord. The verse says that we groan. In verse 22, we groan for this. We sigh, we murmur, we pray. Inaudibly sometimes, we just say, oh God, I can't stand this trial. I got to be delivered from this. No, we want deliverance now, don't we? But we are waiting for. And in the Greek, that means to expectfully wait. Expectfully. In other words, we're waiting for it, but we're not like a lot of people, you know, say, well, I'm waiting for my pension to come. I don't know if it's ever going to come. We have an expectancy. We know what is going to happen by the word of God. We're going to be in the heavens. Praise the Lord. And the word adoption, the placing as sons. We believe that we are now placed as sons of God, but it won't be manifest until we literally are there. Now, people can see Christ in us. Hopefully, they can tell we're the children of God, but the evidence complete will not happen until we are there in our immortal body with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're waiting for this change in our body. Now let's look at verse 26 of this same chapter. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us right now. Now also, the Lord Jesus Christ is making intercession for us. Isn't that beautiful to think about? According to the will of God, so that the will of God will take place in our lives, that we will be subject to the will of God. You know, God can be trying to do his will in our life, and sometimes we are not in agreement with it. Just like I have been at time, place. I don't want to move. And it was God's will that we move. And all of us have gone through things in our lives that we didn't like. And we would much rather not have go through them. But the will of God is what the Holy Spirit is praying for in our lives, that we have this will of God manifest with groanings, he says, that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The will of God is so important, and important for us to just believe and walk on. Praise the Lord. The Amplified Version says on that he intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. Do you believe that? The Holy Spirit is interceding for us, that Lord Jesus is interceding because he searches the hearts. Praise the Lord. He is searching our heart right now to see our attitudes and what we have really desired of the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Jeremiah 17:10, it says this, I, the Lord, search. That word means penetrate, examine intimately, and find out. That's what that word in the Hebrew means. I, the Lord, search. I penetrate, I examine, and I am examining intimately. That means every little thing in our lives, he's examining. And I find out the hearts. I try, I test, I investigate, I examine the reins. Now, what are the reins? The rein is our mind, our interior self. He is examining all of our, what we're thinking, what we are desiring in our lives. He examines all this. Isn't that beautiful? He is working on it. Even to give every man according to his ways. And that word ways means a road as trodden or a course of life. So in the course of our life, we are dealing with a supreme being. We are the children of the Lord. We are the children of God. And we are dealing with him. And he is testing and examining our hearts and our minds, and he is searching us, and he is giving to every man according to his ways, the road that he is trotting, the course of his life, what he chooses in God, how he follows God. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession according to the will of God, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And the Spirit is making intercession for us according to the will of God. How precious that is. Can God's Holy Spirit make mistakes? Does he pray for us about something that we don't really need prayer about? No, he's there and he sees our needs. How about Ephesians 5? Let's go there. Ephesians 5. Praise the Lord. Verse 8 is what we're going to read. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what our Lord has said to us. Our walk in the Lord is our daily life before him. We know it's not literal walking. Our activity with Christ as children of the light. That's what the Amplified Version says. I do refer to the Amplified Version because it gives the meanings of the Greek words in that text. And that's why I like to tell you what it says, because it comes right down to plain English. Our walk in the Lord is our daily walk or activity with Christ. Walking as children of light. Living as those who are native born to the light. Children of the light. You see what that would imply? If I say I'm a child of Oklahoma, which I was born there, then I'm an Okie, aren't I? Okay, we've been born of God, and we are the children of the light. God is light. Jesus Christ is light. So we are the children of the light. Now notice verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Spirit is in us, and what is produced by the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, the life of Christ reproduced in our lives as believers. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is God's will? What does God accept as walking in his will? And the word acceptable is a beautiful word. It means fully agreeable, ever pleasing, fully agreeable. So when we walk with the Lord as he wants us to walk, it's fully agreeable with him. He is so blessed by our actions and by what we're going through and we're overcoming. Don't you know that the Lord rejoices over us when he looks down and it says he will rejoice over us with singing? You ever think about the Lord standing up there, Jesus singing, oh, a beautiful song, because he looks down and he sees us doing the will of God. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Proving means to test what is acceptable unto the Lord. What is his will? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look over at Romans 12. The will of God. What he wants. What we're talking about. And of course, being in verse 1, most of us can quote, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present, and that word, as we've dwelt on many times, is the word yield, and it means to stand at the ready, to be right here, Lord, here I am. I'm presenting myself like a soldier, your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The right thing to do, the logical thing to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word prove there means to test, to discern, or approve. So, you know, sometimes in our lives, it's hard for us to figure out what God's will is. And that's sometimes, you know, we'll pray and we'll say, well, Lord, show me by such and such a way. Putting out a fleece. You know what a fleece is? The Old Testament, Gideon, God told him to go and take these men and go fight. And he said, well, I'm going to lay this little piece of wool, this little fleece on the ground. If it gets wet in the morning, then I know God is with me. Well, it was wet, so he turned it over and said, now tonight, if it's all dry, then I'll know. That's what people do a lot of times when they don't know the will of God. But proving the will of God means to test or discern. And so how do we do that? We don't need to take a little fleece and stick it out, though sometimes we've done that. We've said, Lord, if you show us by so-and-so, Lord, if by such and such a date, so-and-so happens, and we have the money, then you know, Lord, we'll know that's your will, right? I don't know if you've ever done that, but we have. And God then will show us his will by that. So that's testing. Testing the will of God, testing and discerning and seeing. Praise the Lord. Okay, the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Let's go back. Verse 17 of chapter 5. Wherefore, be not unwise, that means to be a fool, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Praise the Lord. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, the word unwise there means to be ignorant. Now, some people are just ignorant of God's plan, aren't they? And so they go against it because, you know, they don't understand. But then this next meaning is unbelieving. Unbelieving. The Lord says, do this or don't do this. And sometimes we are not wise. We are unwise. We're ignorant. And we're unbelieving. And the last meaning of that was rash. R-A-S-H. Have you ever seen a rash person? Yes. Hopefully we're not rash. We understand what that is. Just jumping up, doing something maybe that isn't even the will of God. But he says that we are to understand what the will of God is. Where do we get the knowledge of understanding what the will of God is? From the Word of God. As we study the Word of God together, it plainly tells us, doesn't it? Are we going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't understand what you wanted, Lord? No, because the Word of God is so plain. It tells us we need to be born again. It tells us we need to be filled with the Spirit. It tells us we need to walk in the Spirit. It tells us all of these wonderful things. We need to study the Word. We need to be reading the Word at home every day and praying that God will help us to change and be different. All of these things, these are the will of God. This is what God wants. Understand what the will of God is. Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians 1:9, Paul's prayer for the Colossians. Love the book of Colossians. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Paul heard about their steadfastness in the Lord and all the things that were going on there. He was in prison at this time, and he's praying for them. And then he has this, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, desiring that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. Praise the Lord. This word knowledge, I have written in my margin, wisdom, the application of knowledge. You know, people could have a lot of knowledge of the Word. They could quote stuff and maybe things that we don't remember. They're quoting the Bible, this and that and the other thing, and sometimes wrongly, sometimes applying something that isn't true. But when we are filled with the knowledge of His will, we are applying that to our hearts. We're letting that work in us. And I have written in my little space there, the acknowledge of his exact will. So he has an exact will, and it's in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That word filled there is a different word that we don't use very much, but it means to make replete, which means to be filled up or well supplied. So notice that, the knowledge that you be filled, it means completely filled up. Praise the Lord. I remember one of the children in our family, I think it was my sister's son, would say, I'm filled up, Mama. And he'd put his hand up here. I've eaten everything. I'm filled up. Well, that's not, of course, what is meant here. It means in our knowledge, in our possession of this, to really be filled up with the Word of God, filled up with the will of God, knowing His will. Praise the Lord. And that word knowledge, it means full discernment. You know, we can read about something in the Bible and not really discern what it means to us, not really discern how it works, but to have this kind of knowledge where it's a complete knowledge of His will, to be filled completely up, it's a full discernment. In other words, the Spirit is controlling us, and we are discerning the will of God. It's important. In my life, moving around a lot, I needed for the Lord to tell me that it was the will of God too. And then when He did, I went. I went willingly and followed my husband whithersoever he went. Praise the Lord, God is good. So with the knowledge, with the full discernment of His will. And the word will here means, in the Greek, His choice. He chooses. Whatever He chooses, I'm going to follow it. And it also means His purpose. His decree, How about the decree when he says, this is the way it is? It's up to you now by the grace of God to overcome it. This is the way it is. His decree, his desire, or his pleasure. Have you ever thought of that, that the will of God is his good pleasure? It says one place in the scripture. His good pleasure of us, what he wants in our lives. He's working all of that, the Bible says, after the counsel of his own will. Praise the Lord. So, what does God want in my life? What is his will for my life? What is he speaking to me about? And don't tell me God doesn't speak to you, because I know he does. He speaks to all of his children through different instances, through other people sometimes, through the word of God, whatever. But we want, I hope and pray, each of us here today want to fulfill the will of God above everything in our lives, regardless, because Jesus is coming very, very soon. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants first place. He wants first place. He wants to be consulted. And he wants to be heard. And he wants us to lead. He wants us to follow his lead. So how can I attain that? I'm just a human being and I have my own mind. And I think I know what is right. How can I attain to really following the will of God? It is a surrendering of self. It's a matter of everything we do, seeking the Lord about it. And ask him to be in control. And ask him to govern it and bring it about if it's his will. And sometimes he'll say no. That's the way it is. Other times, he'll bring about the circumstances that show us that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise the Lord. One time in my life, that was the time I really struggled about. When we were in New Mexico, we had been given the equity in a home. It was a 3-bedroom home on a 1/2 acre of land. It was probably the nicest house I ever lived in. And it was such a blessing. And, you know, when my husband decided we should go to Arkansas City, Kansas, it was really hard to give up that house. We tried to sell it. We did all kinds of things to it to try to get it ready. And it didn't sell. And God brought someone along that needed a home. And God spoke to us. This couple said, we can't give you anything but $100, but we need a home. That was Roy's sister Grace and her husband and little kids that didn't have a place. And the Lord said, give it to them. It was given to you, give it to them. So we gave it to them. God is so good. His will, and he made us just totally content. That was fine. God knew all about it. They built it into a very wonderful place. If any of you have seen it, God really blessed them there in that place. So, you know, he may ask us to sacrifice something. We don't like that. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to say, God's will be done, whatever it is. And I want to do it. I'll do it. I'll be willing. And just go ahead and follow the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're going to sing a song, and if any of you have need of prayer, you want us to pray for you about anything, or you'd just like to pray at the altar for a while, just feel free to do that. And I hope that this message has been a blessing to you and strengthened all of us in the will of God. Praise the Lord. Dear sister told me she might not be able to play because she's having trouble with her eye that she had surgery on, but the Lord helped her today to get through that. Praise God. God is good.
Let's stand and turn to 144 in the Grace of Glory, 144. center of God's will, I'm sweetly resting, and I know that naught can harm me anywhere. As a mother folds her arms about her children, so I'm safely kept in Jesus' loving care. In the center of God's will, oh, what a refuge! I will hide me till the storms are past. In the center of His will, He'll ever keep me till I see His precious face at last. In the center of God's will, I'm safely hiding, and no evil can befall me where I dwell. 'Tis the secret place known only to God's children. Oh, the peace that fills me now, no tongue can tell. In the center of God's will, oh, what a refuge! I will hide me till the storms are past. In the center of His will, He'll ever keep me till I see His precious face at last. In the center of God's will, I am contented, though the clouds at times may hide His loving face. I am kept each day by His almighty power, and I'm resting in His all-sufficient grace. In the center of God's will, oh, what a refuge! I will hide me till the storms are past. In the center of His will, He'll ever keep me till I see His precious face at last. In the center of God's will, why should I murmur? For I know that in His loving fatherhood, He'll permit no evil thing to overtake me, and all things shall work together for my good. In the center of God's will, oh, what a refuge! I will hide me till the storms are past. In the center of His will, He'll ever keep me till I see His precious face at last.
Sing it again. Here we go.
In the center of God's will, oh, what a refuge! I will hide me till the storms are past. In the center of His will, He'll ever keep me till I see His precious face at last.